like, right here, just pay attention to us. The middle children.
Hello, I'm Jesse Jollis.
And I'm Chris Burns. And this
is Middle Children. Wow.
That was beautiful.
That was beautiful. And I really felt like, oh, you're going low, I'll go high. He went high, I'll go low. I felt like we really ping-ponged.
Harmony.
I do want to just sort of like get the elephant out of the room.
And it's a big elephant.
Which is that?
It's fun because we're doing these, we're recording on Zoom recorders, but also in a Zoom meeting so that we can still be face-to-face, you know?
Yes. And I pushed this 30 minutes late. One reason is I woke up and I immediately, I've been having, if full disclosure, this has been my hardest week so far. And my face has really reflected that. So I woke up, felt what felt like a scab on my lip. I said, not today. And I scraped it off. And then I've been bleeding since. And I said, Chris, I don't know what to do. I'm going to be bleeding all over the mic.
So she proceeded to put on a Band-Aid. But when I said, yeah, just throw on a Band-Aid, I thought she meant one of like the small dot Band-Aids that you put on things like that. But she came out with one that is like if you had accidentally hit your arm against a belt sander and you need one that covers your whole, your whole arm.
Yeah.
So she just kind of folded it up onto her lip there.
I look like that dad at the soccer game with a big old blonde mustache who's like maybe drinking a beer. You know what I'm saying? You're like,
it's between that and like an older man at the grocery store and you're like, oh, he must have fell.
Yeah. So that's where I'm starting. And it's just every time I see my own reflection, it's frightening. So I can't imagine what this is like for Chris.
I'm into it.
Okay. God bless.
I'm appreciating it. So how are you feeling? Why such a bad day?
Oh, it's been a bad week. I have been watching Married at First Sight, and that's all I've been doing.
Yeah. That sounds like a pretty good week to me.
You know, I did watch a lot of couples, a lot of ups and downs. I'm so obsessed with this show, Chris. I'm like full
blown. I get that way with certain shows. And that's why when people are like, you've never seen Schitt's Creek? And I'm like, no, because I know how I'll get.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'll become obsessed with it. And then I'm like talking only about that. I'm doing Catherine O'Hara impressions.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, I'm arrested for trying to break into one of their homes.
100%. And it's like, I was planning to be in the show when it comes back, the revival.
Jesse has been talking a little bit too much, I think, about being a cast member on Married at First Sight.
It's uncomfortable.
I did think you were joking, but now I'm starting to feel like maybe you're not.
You know, it's interesting because I think I realized, first of all, there's so much in it that you learn. So many takeaways, Chris.
Also, Jesse's cat's ass is fully in the camera for Zoom. So I'm not even seeing Jesse anymore. I'm just seeing Winnie's butthole. So that's my view.
Winnie, it's so funny. You know, sometimes I'm just like, am I a really bad mom? Is this like what it's like to be, I don't know, a mother struggling and you just see your daughter every now and again look at you with like, eyes like, I haven't been fed yet. And I'm like, God damn, I'm so sorry. I'm just a bad mom. So we're all struggling. This mustache is,
You need to stop touching it.
I can't. It keeps falling.
The
okay.
only thing that's more distracting than the giant Band-Aid is the fact that Jesse keeps re-adhesing it.
Okay, wait. Let me tell you about Married at First Sight. So I'm obsessed with it. I love it. Okay. I love the dysfunction and I love the function. There's this one couple who, you know what? We got more information later, but at the beginning, the girl and the guy, he was like, I don't think she's like definitely my type, but like I could grow to love her, which is like what I want to hear. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then they kiss and he says he feels repulsed and dead inside.
Oh, yeah. I think you told me about this one. Was she into him?
Yeah.
And he just thought she was disgusting?
Well, turns out, I guess it was like weird sex stuff. So that's what happened at the beginning. I was like, well, that feels psychotic. And then later on,
weird sex stuff.
So then later on, she's like, he won't let me talk about it, but I have to talk about it because I don't know what to do. But I guess it's almost like a unicorn. I don't know if that's true. But I guess it's like they had sex too early and that made him feel really sick inside.
What?
I don't know. It sounds like when they have sex, she says, then for 2 to 3 hours, he goes somewhere. He has to be alone. He can't look at me. Can you imagine that?
For 2 to 3 hours?
Yeah.
What is he doing?
I don't know.
Nobody follows him with cameras?
No one's there during the sex, I don't think.
She might be lying.
I don't know what's that. And then he doesn't want to talk about it. And then he's like, well, do you want to talk about your drinking? And you're like, what's happening behind closed doors, you guys?
Oh, is she a drinker? I hate when they talk about that.
Me too. I also think she's drinking because her husband takes 2 to 3 hours after sex to go somewhere. I drink
to take
too.
A shake. He takes like a 3 hour shower.
Yeah, it's like,
it's like that episode of Sex and the City when Miranda's dating the really religious guy and he like showers immediately after sex and then she's like, you don't have to feel guilt, and he starts screaming at her.
Yeah,
he was hot though.
Though, and for that I say I would, you know, would be interested.
And then he later played Julia Louis-Dreyfus's husband in New Adventures of Old Christine, a wildly underrated show.
Wow, and I've never even heard of it.
See, Wanda Sykes, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, she owns a gym. Hello.
What?
Yeah, divorced. Lives with her brother, has some kids. It's beautiful.
That sounds actually like a lot of fun and something I could get into. What are you watching?
I was watching this show. So a lot of homos have been recommending to me this show called Dragula. And it's like on Netflix now. But it's like Drag Race meets American Horror Story.
Wow.
Meets Fear Factor, which I didn't realize. So it's like Drag Race style and that they're competing. But all of the things are like kind of creepy or like incredibly scary.
Oy.
And then instead of having to lip sync for their life, they have to do like Fear Factor challenges, like jump out of a plane or like
Oy.
Eat a cow's brain. And that, those parts, I was like, this is not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
And the production quality is just like terrible.
Oh.
But I watched both seasons that were on Netflix.
Okay, good. And you didn't hate it.
I didn't hate it. But I also was like, I probably wouldn't have kept watching if I
had other options.
Yeah, yeah. And then yesterday, I was just in a mood yesterday. I don't know why. I was like very out of it and was intermittently crying. And so then I went to bed at like 10:30 and I slept for like 12 hours.
See, that's the trick.
And I hadn't been sleeping. I think that's why, because I hadn't slept all week long.
I'm not going to bed at good times. I'm not waking up like a pioneer. I wake up like I've been hit in the head with a tray the night before.
Yeah. Like that's how you fell asleep. You got knocked in the head with a vase so that you could fall asleep.
Yes. And someone like carried me, a ghost of some sort, to bed. And then I wake up like, oh, my head. And someone's like, you were hit with a vase.
That sounds lovely.
It does sound lovely.
I've also been watching this show called Paranormal Survivor, I think it's called, on Netflix. And it's like Forensic Files. It tells real stories. It's like people telling their story of their haunted house.
Oh, cool.
So sometimes it's like really scary or bizarre, but then other times I'm like, that sounds so nice. Like one guy was like, I always wake up and I feel like somebody's brushing my face. And then he has these paranormal people come in and he had like 45 ghosts in the house.
Oh my God.
Because he also was having things where like if he stood at one place in the kitchen, sometimes all of a sudden it was like somebody was bear hugging him from behind, but in like a violent way, like choking him.
Oh.
And then if he went into one room, like he basically walked in and like got punched and kicked and whatever. And so they were like, yeah, there's a lot of evil spirits in here because the house was like 500 years old and whatever. And they're like, but there's one woman that's like in love with you. And she says that she was your wife in a past life. And then they like played the, because you know how they like record things sometimes. And
yes.
And she just said, like, you could just hear say, I love you. And then they were like, so that's who's been
brushing your face. Wow.
And then he was like, oh, that's weird. Like, he was into it. These people all stay in the house.
Oh, I would have been out of there before that. They would have been, I mean, imagine having a friend over and they're like, what's this room? Oh, don't go in.
Yes. And then sometimes they'll be like, I contacted the person who lived in the house before and they were like not answering, whatever. They're like refusing to answer the phone. So then they'll go see them and the person's like, yeah, I know that it's haunted. I don't want anything to do with it. And they're like, you couldn't have said something.
Because they were afraid they'd never sell it.
Exactly. And it's like always bizarre.
Yeah, I know it's haunted. Okay. I got the shit beat out of me for 15 years.
They're like, leave us alone. Thanks. Psycho.
Psycho. Have you ever had a ghost encounter?
I don't know. Okay, this I will say.
Say it.
So, like, I do believe in them fully. And in college, I lived in, like, a huge house that was in my college town. No, it was, like, it was an apartment on the first floor.
Yeah.
And there was two guys that lived in it. And then there was the third floor, and it was these three girls. And then the attic was me and another girl. But we, like, lived with the three girls on the second floor. So it was, like, the whole thing. But me and the other girl were in the attic. And there was only one night that both the boys that lived on the first floor were gone and all my roommates were gone.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So I'm, like, sleeping in the attic of this old house. And I was, like, this is, like, I had never been there completely alone before. And I had Christmas lights, like, on, like, white lights along the ceiling, and, like, a fan and my TV on and my phone plugged in. And I kept waking up all night because I felt like my roommate was there, and I, like, would go to her side of the room, but she was never there. And then I woke up and my TV was off, which I had it on. My phone was on the charger, but it was dead. Or it was, like, off. And then my fan was off, and the Christmas lights that were on the ceiling were, like, hitting me in the face. And that's how I woke up.
Wow.
And I was like, oh.
Shit went down.
Are you single?
Are you single? It's very Stranger Things, you know? Very Stranger Things.
It's very strange. But I don't, I'm nice to ghosts.
I also would like to think I'm nice to ghosts. My dad talks about this story about he was in college in his, like, freshman year dorm. One day he was, like, just in his bed, and this guy came in and started, like, knocking things off of his desk and off of things. And he was like, hey, man, what are you doing? And the guy, like, didn't speak. And my dad was like, what are you doing? And then his roommate was there, but then his roommate looked at him like, who are you talking to? And then my dad was like, did you see that guy? And his roommate didn't say anything. And my dad was like, holy shnikes. So then he told this other guy who lived on his floor, whose dad just so happens to be like a ghost, whatever. Turns out someone had killed themselves in my dad's dorm room. The guy was like, do you want to see a picture of the guy? And my dad was like, no, because I know what he looks like. But what do I do? And the ghost guy just said that, like, when they come, you're just like, I'm not here to hurt you, something like that. But isn't that crazy?
That is my friend that lives here, like my friend from growing up. Like 3 weeks ago, it happened like three nights in a row. They have like the Nest thing, so like on the door, so to like the Alexa will be like, someone's at the door before they ring the doorbell.
Oh.
And three nights in a row at like 4 a.m. it said that, like, someone's at the door, and there was no one there. And they watched the tape, and both times there's like a, like, she like sent me the video. It's crazy. And it's like
a sphere,
like a like white sphere orb, like floating on their porch.
Wow.
And I was like, don't answer the door. You do not let that shit in.
Do not answer the door. And you tell Alexa to keep it shut.
Like, yeah, that my best friend's family owned like a huge house in Staten Island that like they had for like years and years and years and years. And her cousin would always go up into the attic when she was a kid and say that she was playing with her friend Emily, and it was like her imaginary friend. And then for years. And then when they would leave, they would be like, why doesn't Emily come with us? Because she's like visiting the grandma's house. She'd be like, because she lives there. And they're like, well, that's weird. And then when her grandmother died and they sold the house, they had like the transaction records of whoever owned the house. And the woman that owned it before her was like an old lady who died on the third floor. And that was her name.
Wow. See, I love that.
That, I think, will be my destiny.
Yes. I'm haunting like, the shit out of someone.
Stuck in some attic and don't know how to get out. And I'm just like asking little kids, I'm like, do you want to have a tea party? Like, I'm bored as hell.
Wait, wait, wait. I have crumpets.
Can you get me a laptop?
Just tell your parents I'm imaginary, okay? They won't press any further.
But ask them for Hulu with no commercials.
Yeah. The mustache has officially fallen.
It did fall.
It fell straight off. And there's really nothing I can do at this point. I don't know how it looks, but I don't want to know.
It's not gushing blood. So that's good.
Okay. I'll take that.
Speaking of, should we get into embarrassing stories?
It's the embarrassing story of the week.
I think it's like so beautiful and powerful to know that one of the hosts is sort of like bleeding throughout the episode.
It's very Dragula.
Thank you. Okay, so my embarrassing story. This is circa whatever. I'm like 12 or 13. I'm either a freshman in high school. I think I'm a freshman in high school. We had just, my house had burnt down because of the fire. Tragic. And we had moved into this rental house in this neighborhood, 10 minutes from where I used to live. We were all getting used to it. My brother had just started running to lose weight, which was, you know, triggering for me. Me and my sister like started riding our bikes because there was like a really long driveway and it was just like a cool bike path. There was a huge hill and then going up was really hard. Okay. So one day my sister and I were riding our bikes and we're riding around and there were a few kids that went to my high school that lived like on the street or whatever. Not that I saw them too often, but I knew they lived there and I was like, maybe we'll be friends. Who's to say? So I'm riding my bike and I'm at the bottom, which is like halfway with my sister. And all of a sudden I was like, uh-oh, I think I'm going to shit my brains out. And my sister was like, okay, let's just like, we'll ride home quick. I'm like, okay, but it's hard. You know, when I'm like 0 to 60. So mm-hmm. I was at 0 and all of a sudden I'm like, oh no. So there's that huge hill. I have to get off and start walking because I'm like, I can't even pedal. I don't think I'll shit everywhere. So I'm pushing up this hill, pushing up this hill. We still have like another quarter mile, half mile to go. There was a construction site where they're building this new house.
Oh no.
Yeah. And I was like, Sandy, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. So I have to like go into this construction site field by this house because I start to feel so sick. I never get sick vomiting, which sometimes I wish I did. It's much more excusable. Same. It's just much more excusable.
People are like, oh, when somebody's throwing up, she's yeah. sick. But when somebody's shitting their pants, they're like, she's a psychotic.
Yeah, they're like, are you possessed? What's wrong with you, you animal? Yeah. So I was like, but I'm always that way. So I pull over. My sister's like, don't. I'm like, Sandy, I can't. There's no other option. So I start shitting my brains out. And I'm like, you crouched over to the point where I'm sure I look repulsive. And it's like hot out. But you know, when you feel sick, you have a fever anyway or something.
Yeah.
So
that like bead of sweat on your lip.
Right. So I look like I've died. We hear my neighbors coming. I'm like, oh my God. I don't even know what to do. I like try to hide behind a bush. Remember, my shorts are down at my ankles.
So you had already shit?
I'm like mid shit. Almost done, but I'm still like, oh. My sister's like trying to help, but then people are coming. She's like, oh my God. So we're both like, oh my God. So I try to hide behind this bush and like get my shorts back up. We start talking to this girl. She doesn't realize that what's happened. And after a little bit, when she keeps walking, she notices,
oh my God,
the pile of shit, and then says, were there horses here? And we were like, yeah, maybe. All right, well, we got to go. And then I just walked off, slumped off with my sister, like, let's get out of here.
Unwiped.
I mean, I tried to wipe, but yeah, essentially it was I went right in the shower. Let's put it that way. It was such a massacre. I told my parents when I got home, and then I was like, I don't even know. I was like, is that trespassing? Am I going to get arrested? I just,
I'll tell a recent story, similar vibes.
I love that.
I was on a red eye.
Hello.
Hello, from LA to New York.
Oh my God, what a world traveler you are.
Yeah, well, you know me. my friend had gotten me the flight with his airline miles.
Oh, very nice.
I couldn't afford it, so.
Well.
But I'm on the flight, and I famously can't sleep on planes.
Oh.
It's a curse, really. So
it really is.
I'm on this red eye. Everybody's sleeping except for me. I'm watching Under the Tuscan Sun. And I had an edible.
Oh.
As I'm turning on to see Sandra Oh in Under the Tuscan Sun, a little Diane Lane action.
Yeah.
This little, like, twinkie flight attendant stops by, and he's like, excuse me, how old are you? And I was like, old enough to be watching Under the Tuscan Sun.
Yeah.
And I was like, 29 or whatever, 28 at the time. And he was like, oh, okay. And then like scurried away. And I was like, that was bizarre. And then he comes back and he has three little mini bottles of Grey Goose and a can of seltzer and a cup with ice and a lime in it. And he just sets it on my little mini table and winks and disappears.
I'm sorry.
I know, right?
Love at first sight.
I was like, this is like the nicest thing anybody's ever done for me. And then goes away. I don't see him again for the rest of the flight. But so I finished what he gives me. I'm watching Under the Tuscan Sun. I'm feeling myself. And then that's when the bead of sweat starts on my upper lip.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, what's happening? Again, I'm on a plane of silent people sleeping.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh no, it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Something's happening to me. So I make my way into the bathroom. And I start projectile vomiting. And I don't know, okay, because this is the thing. And in my head, I'm like, this little flight attendant's going to get fired. Because people are going to find out what I'm doing in here. And then they're going to be like, he gave you too much to drink. But I'm like, I wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
It was not too much. No. But as I'm vomiting, then I start feeling like I'm going to.
The other way.
The other way.
That's not right.
So then I have to like try my best to stop puking so I can get my pants off. So I turn around and now I'm like projectile shitting and projectile vomiting into the airplane sink.
No.
And it had to, when I came out, people were awake.
Yeah.
That weren't awake before. And I just like dabbed the corners of my mouth. We were also like literally like landing at the time.
Oh no.
So that happened. And then another time when I was in third grade or like first grade, I was in the car going to school and I farted as a joke because I thought it'd be funny. And I knew exactly what had happened. But I was afraid to tell my mom. And so then I get out and we're walking into school and I have a full load of poop in my pants.
Oh my God.
And I was like, I was walking into school and this girl, what was her name? I think her name was like Elizabeth. She left the school the next year. But she was like trash, like born and bred trash. I was obsessed with her. But she was sitting in the hall taking off her boots and I walked by and she's like, Chris, why are you walking like you shit your pants?
Oh my God.
Down the hall, my mom was like, so why are you walking like that? And I was like, I pooped my pants. And so she was like, just go into the bathroom. But it was like one of the in-class bathrooms.
Oh, no.
So I had to go in there and wait while the class started. And she went home to get me new underwear and came back.
Oh.
And I was just like hiding in there. And people were knocking, being like, what's going on? I need the bathroom. And I'm like, I don't feel good.
Sorry.
And then nobody wondered when my mom came into the classroom and delivered a fresh pair of underwear.
Nobody wondered?
I mean, I'm sure they did.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I wasn't very popular.
I'm surprised the fart joke didn't work.
You know, people laughed in the car. It did work at the time.
Did work. I knew my audience, okay? And I knew their humor.
I know, because there was kids that like my mom would babysit in the morning, so they were in the car and I knew they needed a laugh before classes.
That's so nice of you.
And so I made them laugh.
You delivered, and then your mom delivered. And what a time that was for the both of you.
What a time that was for me. And then she brought it and I was like, do you have a cheese stick?
Oh my God.
I'm hungry.
I've been in the bathroom all by myself.
Oh, what a time.
That's so funny. That reminds me of the time that my brother was in denial over so many things. And one of them was like, sometimes he would just get dressed so quickly without looking like anywhere. So one time my brother came upstairs and it looked like he was wearing like a pencil skirt. We all were like, what? Like, what shorts are those or something? And he's like, it's fine. I like them, blah, blah, blah. But he can barely move. He's like held in tight. All of a sudden we notice in the back, like a tail, which
he's
is like
in for one half of the shorts.
And we're like, you put both legs into one leg. And he's like, I love it like this. You know, where it's like, this is how I wear it. And it's great this way. And we're all like, you look like you're captive in your own shorts. I just recommend taking one leg out and putting it where it's supposed to be. And he just was like waddling around in such denial of like, this is how you wear it. I love it like this. It's sexy.
Good for him.
Yeah. Eventually we're all like, fine, wear it however you want to wear it. Like, good luck.
And then next thing you know, it was on the catwalk in New York.
It was on the catwalk. We were like, wow, who knew? Deanie was a fashionista.
Should we move on to our next segment?
Let's move on to our next.
Which is
the middle child of the week.
Wow, what a beautiful little jingle.
God, we love a jingle.
I am obsessed with it.
It's so good.
The person who made that, Hannah Solo, also recently went viral because she pretended to be the mayor of Las Vegas. And it's so funny, but like beautifully edited into a video interview with Anderson Cooper and the actual mayor of Las Vegas. And then it went viral because people thought she was the actual mayor.
Oh my
God.
So
it's like all these people being like, this ugly ass wigged, because she's wearing like a crazy wig and stuff. So they all think they're coming at the actual mayor of Las Vegas, but really it's her.
Oh my God.
And the whole thing, she's just talking about how she thinks there should be a Moulin Rouge casino. But anyway, okay, guys, the middle child of the week this week is somebody that's near and dear to my heart and Jesse's.
Thank you.
I know that.
Passionate.
I love her. And I always have.
And me as well.
Demi Lovato. I don't know if you've heard of her.
Demi Lovato.
Let me tell you something about Demi Lovato. When she sang Stone Cold on Saturday Night Live, changed my life. Mm-hmm. Changed my life. Because you know what? I don't want to be stone cold either.
No one does.
And she sang it like a little angel.
Oh, when she sang Sober?
Ugh.
I almost cry every single time I hear it.
I can't even watch it because she's crying. And now she has two singles out. Can't wait for the album.
Can't wait.
But she's an icon. And I do feel like if she met me, she would like me.
I feel that as well. And I feel like we'd be great influences.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I do also feel like I very much think that if Ariana Grande knew me, she'd want to be my best friend. And that's
yes.
always how I felt.
Yes. Ariana would definitely love her some of you.
Like, I feel like she really would. I feel like Demi would like me and we would be like friendly.
Yeah.
But she's like one of those people that I like, but she, you know, when you're like,
yeah.
Oh, they're so cool, but they don't really love me like I love them.
Yes.
But Ariana, I feel like it would be an equal love.
It would be mutual. I think with Demi, I would love her so much. And then I would be afraid when she starts going off the deep end. And I'd be like, I have to sacrifice myself for Demi and the greater good of the world.
Yeah.
To the point where Demi's like, Jesse, stop. You're not being my friend. You're being a controlling mom. And I'd be like, I don't know how to do both.
I'm worried about you.
Yeah. I'm worried about you.
Yeah. I also feel that way that like Lizzo would really like me. And I think Lizzo and I we have the same birthday.
That's amazing.
Which is today is mine and Lizzo's birthday.
Wait.
When this comes out.
Okay. I was about to say, I thought your birthday was Monday and I feel a fool.
Today is Saturday. We record 2 days in advance.
Wow. You really scared me. You really scared me, Chris. But, oh, so both you and Lizzo have your birthday on Monday.
But do you know how I know what Lizzo's birthday is? This sounds insane, but I was watching an interview with her and she was talking about all these things. And I was like, Lizzo and I have such similar, like, she's like, I feel really uncomfortable communicating my emotions with another person, but I'll like post on Instagram all my emotions because it's like easier.
Yeah.
And was saying all the, and I'm like, Lizzo and I bet she's a Taurus. We have similar
yeah
vibes. So I Googled what is Lizzo's sign and it came up, her birthday is my birthday.
That is crazy.
Kismet, some might say.
You guys would be good friends. I could see that for you 100%. Although I do love Demi Lovato, and I just want to say shout out to Demi. Demi has seen the middle child curse of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Trying to be perfect, trying to, you know, fit in, branch out. And I just think it's been hard, and she's used to being in that middle. You know, it all adds up is all I'm saying. It all adds up.
And she's just an icon. Do you know that when I do drag, that she's always been my greatest inspiration when it comes to makeup? That's what I'm always trying to achieve.
I love that. And honestly, that makes sense. She always looks fierce. Also, she quarantined with a boy.
We've met. He once came into our office when we were working together.
Oh, wow. I don't remember him.
He like sang. He was so attractive.
Damn.
But yeah, I guess they're dating. So good for both of them.
Good for both of them.
Yeah, no, my drag inspo, people are like, what is your makeup inspo? I'm like, it's a mix between Demi Lovato and Real Housewife of New Jersey, Melissa Gorga.
I love that. That's perfect. That's
what
perfect.
I'm going for. I've met Melissa Gorga. I have yet to meet Demi Lovato.
Just in due time. In due time. We'll have her on the pod.
We'll try. All right, guys. It's time for...
The Hallmark Movie.
Another fun jingle.
We love these jingles.
Do you have an idea? Or...
You go first.
Okay, I don't have an idea, but I'll come up with it.
Okay, great.
Okay, I'm on a farm.
Oh, I see you on a farm. Yes.
Okay, so it is a big vegetable farm.
Okay, I could see that.
Because my family...
loves vegetables.
Basically invented cauliflower. Okay?
No.
So they didn't invent it, obviously, but they're the mass producers of it. So... it's the year is now. It's present. It's a big time for cauliflower.
Oh, they rebranded the whole thing.
I mean, there's cauliflower pizzas, cauliflower...
cauliflower gnocchi.
Chips, you name it, okay?
Rice, yeah.
Anything that used to be a carb is now cauliflower.
Yeah.
And I can see that my parents are worn out because they started the business when cauliflower, it was steamed or baked. That's it. So they've been working really hard. And they want to leave the business to me. They want to retire and go to Hawaii.
Oh.
And they're like, we're going to leave you the business.
Wow.
And I'm like, I don't want the business because I have dreams.
Oh, you know? Sure.
I always wanted to open a zoo.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I always wanted to open a primate sanctuary.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been a huge passion of mine ever since I was a kid. When I was a baby, I fell into a gorilla exhibit.
Oh, no.
And everybody was freaking out. But there was one gorilla there named Miranda. And she picked me up and she held me. The gorilla, everybody's freaking out. They think that she's going to, like, you know.
Squeeze you to death. Snap you in half.
And the other male gorillas are getting angry with her because they want it. They want to eat me.
Yeah.
And she's holding me tight as a tiger and protects
that's a
me.
Gorilla. Yeah.
And I'm okay. So I've always been connected to Miranda.
That makes sense.
And she passed away. So
no.
It was devastating to me.
Oh.
But my parents know that that's what I've always wanted is to open a zoo.
Yeah, that makes sense.
A primate sanctuary. Not so much a zoo. People can come and see them, but they're living in their natural habitat.
You're Carol Baskin in a better...
in cages. Okay. Yeah, I wanted to be a Carol Baskin, but better.
Better, yeah.
And so I'm always on the message boards with primates or people that love primates.
Okay.
And so I'm always talking and I'm talking and I'm single and I live on a farm and it's like in the middle of nowhere because it's so big because it's so much cauliflower.
Oy.
And so I was ready to make the move. I'd been saving up my money and I was going to move because there was a farm for sale the next lot.
Mm.
And so I was like, I'm going to make that my primate sanctuary. And then my parents are like, no, we're going to Hawaii. You need to take the cauliflower business. And I'm a good person. So I'm like, okay, I guess this is my life now.
Yeah.
There's always been a couple of employees that work for the family. And one of them is Rob. And he is about my age, very handsome.
Oh.
He had a rocky past. My parents took him in.
Okay.
Okay, so he's wearing flannel, a denim jacket.
All right, I like it.
Jeans, work boots. He's a little gruff.
Ooh.
Olive skin.
Oh, Lord, help us all.
A beard.
Stop.
Like just the beginning of a beard.
Okay, he's starting something.
He keeps it up, you know?
Yeah.
And so he's like always trying to like flirt with me, but I never notice it.
That's so typical.
Because I'm too busy.
Yeah.
I'm too busy just like thinking about myself.
Oh.
And so he comes in. There's a scene where I'm rude to him because I'm upset about the primates. And then I'm like, I just, you know, I make a scene and I am rude to him. And you're there, of course, because your role is the other employee.
Yes.
So there's the left lot manager and the right lot manager. So Rob runs the left lot. You run the right lot.
That feels good for me.
And so you see me being terrible to him. And you're like, you know that he's obsessed with you?
Chris, he loves you. What are you doing?
And I'm like, no, he's not. We don't have any of the same interests. And you're like, he owns a chimpanzee. And I'm like, what? And you're like, yeah, when he was a kid.
No.
He found this little chimpanzee that was injured. Because his family lived in the jungle. They were missionaries. And he rescued the chimpanzee. He's had it for like 25 years.
Oh my God, it's like the reverse of your story.
Exactly.
Okay,
and I'm like,
that.
Oh my God, I didn't know that about him. It's so weird. We've never spoken about it.
It's so weird.
And you're like, well, he makes you, like, you make him nervous.
You make him so nervous.
And I'm like, I don't mean to come off that way.
Yeah, but you're stone cold. Stone cold.
You're like, well, you do. You're like, you make me nervous too. And I'm like, well, you can handle it. And then we have like a laughing moment.
Yeah, that's so us.
And so then long story short, I'm miserable at the business. And then I see him in the distance and he's creating a sanctuary.
What?
And I go and I'm like, Rob, what are you doing? And
what he was
like,
what are you doing?
He's like, I know, like, it's always been my dream to create a primate sanctuary.
Stop.
And I'm like, are you mocking me? And he's like, he's like, no, I'm on all these message boards. I would always talk to this guy and that owns a farm nearby. I don't know where it is because I've always been so busy here. I always wanted to meet up with him.
Oh my God.
And he starts saying things. And that's when I realized that he is Chimp Man 27. And that's who I've been. And that's who I have been constantly chatting with online.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, wait, so you bought this plot of land? And he's like, yeah, well, I bought a half of it because I couldn't afford the whole thing, but I'm hoping that no one buys the other side and I'm gonna expand it eventually. And I'm like,
oh my God.
I'll buy the other side. And so most of the film is us building the sanctuary. You're stressed out because you're pretty much single-handedly running the cauliflower farm now.
Oh, God. Well, good luck to me.
But I'm like, oh, my God, I gave you a raise. Can you calm down? And we have more like laughing stuff.
Yeah.
And then we end up filling up the sanctuary with different primates that we've rescued. And he's like, my heart's almost so full. Now that I have all of this. And I'm like, almost. And he's like, yeah, I just need one more thing. And then he kisses me.
Oh, my God.
Okay. And so then the movie ends with the wedding.
The wedding.
And you are standing. So it cuts to you and you're like, okay, girls, this is your time to shine. Don't mess this up for them or we'll all have hell to pay. They cut back and it is three chimpanzees in bridesmaids' dresses.
I'm like, bitch, you go first. I want to look skinny.
and you're like, go, go, go. And it's very funny.
Oh my god!
And we all just make eye contact and roll our eyes and laugh.
Oh my god.
And it does leave room for a sequel.
I love that.
Thank you.
What you just described is a dream.
Thank you. It's called
Chimp Man 27.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's called Chimp Man 27.
Okay, I'm literally so here for that.
Thank you.
There's only one thing missing. I knew it was going to be you, Chris. I knew it the whole time.
Of course it was.
Of course it was. Okay, do you want to hear mine?
Yeah, of course.
Picture this. It's me. I'm a high-powered businesswoman, okay?
Naturally.
I have a briefcase and everything, and I'm running to the airport, okay? So you see me, I've closed a deal. I'm like, taxi, I'm in a taxi, I'm going to the airport, I'm like, blah, blah, I'm going through. You know, I've got pre-check, I'm going in, going down the aisle, get to my first class seat, someone's in my seat. I was like, excuse me, sir, you're in my seat. The guy happens to be very attractive. That's besides the point, okay? I'm a high-powered businesswoman.
Yeah.
And that's my seat. And he's like, actually, it's my seat. If you can believe it, we both have the same ticket, the same seat. We both have 2C, okay? I'm like, this is my seat. The flight attendant comes over. She's like, let's not have a ruckus, okay? She says, the flight is completely full. I said, okay, no, because this is a red eye, if you will. I said, I'm going, you know, from LA to New York, and I have this big meeting I'm going to where, like, the company that I work for, I have to get back. Like, I have this huge meeting in the morning. He's like, okay, well, I also have a meeting, so I can't just not be there. They're like, you guys need to take it outside and decide for yourself. So I'm like, listen, you POS, I'm a woman. You should give me the seat. Like, this is rude. He's like, I have a meeting. I'm like, okay, I have a meeting. I'm a high-powered woman, and this is my briefcase. Give me the seat. Then I just storm back in. I'm like, he said I could have the seat. He's like, no, I didn't. I wave goodbye, go bye-bye. And then I sit in the seat, and I'm like, ugh. Thank God that's over with. Okay. I get back to New York. My cat, Winnie, is there. I say, hey, Win. I sleep for like an hour before I have to get up, go into the office. Okay. I'm in the office. You just so happen to be my assistant. Okay.
Okay, amazing.
You're like,
look who decided to roll in.
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, where's my chai latte? We have the big meeting today. Okay, so let's get ready for that. You're like, I have everything prepared. Of course I do.
Of course.
So then I'm getting ready. I'm practicing my presentation. And you're like, funny enough, they pushed the meeting. I'm like, what? You're like, yeah, we pushed the meeting. I'm so angry because I barely slept. But we're having the meeting later on that day. Okay, like a few hours later. I try to sleep in my office. And if you can believe it, while I'm asleep in my office, comes, you know, this guy comes to you. And he's like, I'm here for the meeting with Miss Robinson. And you're like, okay, she's in there. Just hold on 1 second. He sees it's me. Because this just so happens to be the guy from 2C.
Of course it is.
So then he's like, I'll wake her. And you're like,
she's not going to like that.
She's not going to like that. But he's so angry. He pushes right past you, Chris. And he goes into my office. And he's like, good morning. And I fly out of my seat. I'm like, oh, my God. He's like, well, oh, I didn't know. I'm Daryl whatever, the head of big media.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, oh, my God.
And big media is absorbing your company.
Right. This is the new CEO, the new head honcho. He's like, sorry to wake you from your slumber. I'm like, I was just crunchy numbers. You're like, she meditates. She was meditating. I'm like, exactly. He's like, how interesting. Well, I'll be in the boardroom. And I'm like, oh, well, the presentation's set up for here. He's like, I want it in the boardroom. That won't be a problem, will it? I'm like, not at all. He leaves. I'm like, Chris, That's the asshole from the plane. Okay. And you're like, oh my God, he did seem hostile. I'm like, yeah, he did, didn't he? He's so angry. Now we have to figure out how to get all this stuff into the boardroom. And I have to pitch him on why I should take over the company, even though he's bought it, but why I should continue to run it and why I'm the right gal for the job. And you're like, okay, we've got this. I'll start packing up your office. And I'm like, Chris, no, I'm going to get the job. You're like, yes, of course. So we go into the boardroom. I'm like, okay, just be yourself and, you know, be intimidating. So I start the presentation. I'm really flustered. Okay.
Naturally.
Naturally. And he's like, you know, let's cut the shit. I don't like you. And I say, well, the feeling is mutual, my friend. I don't like you. And he said, I can't even deal with this presentation right now because I just got an email that one of our biggest clients, Toyota, is in a meeting with, you know, another media place. So we need to come up with a branding pitch for them before we even get to this little pitch of why you should stay at the company. And I go, well, lucky for you, I love Toyota, so that's fine. I'll start working on it. And he's like, no, we'll start working on it. I'll be in my office, come there. And I'm like, Chris, I'm going to kill this man. And you're like, stop it. You're going to be fine.
And I'm like, he's kind of cute though, right?
Yeah. And I'm like, Chris, stop it.
You're like, don't shoot the messenger.
Okay, so then it's you, me, and this guy. I'm like, Chris, come with me. You can take notes.
And I'm like asking questions about if he's single or not.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, Chris. Then we're like coming up with ideas of like Toyota, like who is Toyota? You know what I mean? They're like, we're a family car, but we're more than that. We're also a car for the single, people. You know, we're not just family people. We rule out half the audience. And I say, you know, as a single woman, I feel it's very important to have a brand that identifies with people who are living, you know, their life and still want to be safe and have a great car. But are single. He's like, that's an interesting spin on it. I didn't know you were single. And you're like, oh, he didn't know you were single. So then we stay up all night, me and him. We're laughing. We're joking. We're coming up with this Toyota thing. You're passed out on the couch. Naturally. And
there's Chinese food cartons sprawled all over.
Yeah, we have a moment where we share a stare a little too long, and then we're both like, I'm sorry, I will, I'll see you tomorrow, you know? And he's like, it is tomorrow. And I'm like, I should sleep, maybe not in my office. I've been interrupted before. And then he's like, I thought you were meditating. And I'm like, that's just a fancy word for sleeping. And we have a little joke about that, you know? And then it's like, okay. Next day comes. I'm like, Chris, you'll never guess what happened when you fell asleep. And you're like, bitch, I wasn't sleeping. I was just trying to give you your space. Why didn't you guys make out? And I'm like, oh, well, I didn't know that you were fake sleeping. He's like, well, you're like, whatever, I was meditating. I'm like, okay, what is this meditation thing with you? But we get ready for this big Toyota presentation. Him and I are at like the head of this huge boardroom being like, Toyota. For the family man and the man who's still trying to figure out who family is.
Oh, wow.
That's that's the slogan. And Toyota's like, so we get the deal. We're so excited about it. And then he tells me, he pulls me aside. He's like, you did amazing. I'm like, thank you so much. And you're like, wink, wink. And he says, but I have to tell you something. I came here to fire you. Because my right-hand guy, who I trust, like, is who I want to have the position. Like, I never thought we were going to work together on this. I never thought that this would go well. Like, I was just planning on firing you when you came in the boardroom. And I'm like, oh, my God. He said, but, you know, now that we've started working together, I could see if maybe... Well, you know, I could get you another job, a little lower pay, not as much credit. And I was like, no, what?
Yeah, you're a high-powered woman.
I'm a high-powered woman. That's part of my, that's who I am. So I say, I can't believe this. This dishonesty. What was the presentation I was going to give you for? Just for shits and giggles for you? And he was like, well, it's procedure. And I'm like, well, procedure this. I quit. I'm like, Chris, let's go. And you're like, I
need the money.
I'd love to stay if I can. I'm like, what? Because you're like my only friend.
Because you've been married to work.
Exactly. And so then you're like, I can't leave. So I go to Central Park and I'm like, wow, isn't this fitting? I'm all alone. The guy I thought I was in love with was going to fire me. And my assistant, who is my best friend, I thought, stayed at the company because he needs a paycheck. Isn't everything a full circle? So I'm like really sad, but I'm like, you know what? Maybe it's time to reinvent myself and maybe it's time to buy a Toyota of my own and really start figuring out who's going to be in my car. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go back to California where my family is, see them for a little bit, regroup. Okay. And I pack up my apartment. I send you a present at work, which is just like a meditation sleep app. It's the combination of our two favorite things. And I get ready to go to the airport. And then when I get to the airport, they're like, oh no. And I'm like, what? And they say, we're overbooked
no.
for this flight. And I say, son of a gun. I dare somebody to try to take my seat. And they're like, ma'am, if you want to, are you in a rush? If you are, then, you know, you can try to, but if you're not in a rush, we can give you like a free flight, next flight, first class on us. So I say, I guess I'm not in a rush. Like, that's fine. I maybe don't need to be so combative. I don't need to fight anymore. So I'm in the food court eating Chinese food by myself. And all of a sudden a ticket goes on my table and it says 2C. And he says, you should take the seat. And I say, oh, I'm actually waiting for the next flight. And then I look up and it's the CEO. Oh my God. And he's like, listen, I made a mistake. I didn't know you before I had decided I was going to fire you. And you are a whippersnapper. And not only do I want you back at the company, I'm going to give you a raise and a bonus. And he puts down a key, a Toyota key. And I say, what's this? And he goes, it's a car and I'd like to be in it. Yeah. So then he's like, let's go for a ride. So I go outside. We're going to go for a spin. And then all of a sudden we pick you up too. And you're like, bitch, where you been? And the three of us ride off to take on the world and to just be happy.
Wow.
Thank you.
And the branding opportunities alone there.
The branding opportunities. I'll say it.
Sponsored by Toyota.
Honestly, it could be sponsored by Toyota.
That's a beautiful story.
I really love it. I actually feel like that would be a great movie for us.
I think that's genius. That is right up our alley. Are we ready for our last segment?
Yes, we are, Chris.
Okay, it's time for...
Praise to the Praise.
I love it. Okay, this week, the praise that we're praising comes from Doc Nat. So I'm assuming that means Dr. Natalie.
Oh, I love that for Doc. We got a doctor in the house.
We do. And she says, middle children unite.
Ugh.
Is the headline.
Love.
My saving grace in all caps.
Ugh.
As an essential worker... Doctor,
of course.
My 45-minute drive is made easier by this Monday morning saving grace. Love y'all. You are so natural on the mic and no other podcast can quite compare to your humor and content. As a middle child, with my brother being the oldest and miracle baby,
ugh,
double whammy, and my sister, the youngest, named after my grandmother, triple whammy,
oy,
I'm left to fend for myself and you all make me realize I'm not alone. Thank you for giving us middle children a voice. That's Doc Nat.
Oh my God. Love you, girl.
Obsessed.
And now it's time to praise the shit out of you. First of all, in a time like this, not all heroes wear capes, okay? They wear scrubs.
Here, here.
Here, here. And they got a DR dot right in front of their name.
I mean, she's going to work during these times, helping people, saving lives.
45-minute commute as well.
And you know what else she's doing? Being a great sister, great friend.
Mm-hmm.
She still answers people's phone calls.
Yep.
She's at the doctor, and she's reaching out to her siblings who are off, just still getting paid. And she's saying, how are you holding up?
Oh, my God. You know she is. She's
That's
checking
the type
in
of
on
person
others.
Doc Nat is.
Oh, wow. Ain't it the truth? And you know, Doc Nat's the type of person that around the holidays or birthdays, she doesn't just phone in a present. No, she spends time. She thinks about the person. She's like, what would they like? Who are they? Or she'll just like be walking somewhere and see a present and go, I'm going to get that for Bill and I'm going to save it for him because he's going to love it.
She's the type of person, she works 100-hour a week, okay?
Yeah.
She's a doctor. She's walking for the holidays. And she hears her brother mention one time years ago, I've always wanted a golden vase that has a monkey inscribed on it.
Yes.
And she's like, that's so ridiculous. He said it when they were kids. She's walking by a vintage shop. She sees one in the window. She remembers that conversation from 30 years before. She buys it. She leaves it on his doorstep just as a gift. She doesn't even leave a note on it because she knows that he'll be like, you didn't have to do that. It must have been so expensive. He just thinks he found it.
She's so selfless. That's so her. Okay. She's the type of woman that when she goes shopping, it just so happens that the woman next door is like, does this look good on me? And she's like, it does. You look amazing. Buy it.
She says it before the woman even asks. Okay. Yeah. She steps out. She's looking a little questioning.
Yep.
She's questioning her self-worth.
Yep.
And Doc Nat sees that in her eyes and she takes that away.
Yep. She goes, hey, you look amazing.
She's the type of person that comes to work and she says, here's your venti chai latte.
Oh my God.
And her friend, Isabella is like, oh my God, how did you know I need this? And she's like, I had a feeling. And she just can know when her coworkers need a cup of joe and she brings it in.
Yep. She always raises people's spirits. She comes in sometimes and she'll see all the doctors are looking stressed and she's like, do we need to learn a TikTok song right now?
Do we need to dance?
Do we need to dance? Because I'll teach y'all savage.
And she's going through her own shit, but she
That's
puts
right.
that on the back burner to she pep does. Up the others.
Mm-hmm. She's a middle child to all, but she's also like the best part of the Oreo, the cream.
The cream.
The creme de la creme.
She's the double stuff in between those two Oreos.
Yes.
Oh, you're an icon, Doc Nat, in all seriousness.
Yeah.
We love you. We appreciate you. And the world loves you and appreciates you.
Yes. I hope that your ride today was wonderful and that you go in there and you remember how amazing you are.
Because you're a goddamn superstar, okay?
That's right. And a middle child.
Here, here.
Here, here. So fun.
So fun. And as always, you guys are all superstars.
Yes.
We love you so much. You're powerful. You can do anything.
We love you. We're obsessed with you. If you want to hear more, we have a Patreon where we're going to put up a new episode soon. You know, we love you. We're out there. Keep writing those great reviews. We love them.
We live for them. All right, guys. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe if you liked it. Make sure you check out our Patreon where we will have the high episode dropping soon. It's all recorded.
And it is a shit show.
And that's what we want.
That's what we wanted, and boy, did we deliver.
All right. So, all right. We love you.
Love you. Bye.
The Middle Children.
Middle Children is produced by Cameron Rude.
Our theme song is written and performed by Hannah Solo and Alex Mitchell.
With photography by Sarah Nathan.
And artwork by Abby Lloyd.